Hey guys, and welcome to Money Talks News, the podcast. In this episode, we're talking about paying off that mortgage early so you can put that money to better use. You know, fewer than half, about 40% of homeowners are mortgage-free, at least according to Bloomberg analysis, and many of those are baby boomers like me. Being mortgage-free is often seen as a big milestone on the journey to financial freedom. So how do you become one of those favored few who can pay off their mortgage before that 30-year term is up? We're going to find out today. I'm Stacy Johnson. As usual, my co-host will be financial journalist Miranda Marquette. Hello, Miranda Marquette.
Hey, Stacy. So I had a house once and a mortgage, and I paid it off early by selling the house.
That's one way to go about it. Listening in and sometimes contributing is our producer and novice investor, Aaron Freeman. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, we have one mortgage to go.
I have none. And today we have a special guest who's been here before, Andy Hill, founder of Marriage, Kids, and Money. He paid off his mortgage early not too long ago, and he's going to tell us exactly how he did it and how it's improved his finances and his life. Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you both for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Before we start, folks, remember, this is not financial advice you hear on this podcast, so make sure to do your own research and consult your own experts before acting on anything you learn here. And hopefully that prevents us from being sued. Now we can dive right in. Andy, when did you pay off your mortgage?
My wife and I paid off our mortgage in 2017, so about 7 years ago now.
7 years? And Andy, you sound like a young person. If you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
I am 42 years young today.
Today's your birthday?
What?
I said that funny. I'm 42. Let me answer that again.
Oh, 42. Okay.
You've got the answer then.
You should have just rolled with it. You should have said, yes, it's my birthday and I'm wasting it on this stupid podcast.
Right. I should have gotten some birthday treats from you guys.
Yes, you should have. Anyway, you're very young to have paid off your mortgage. I paid off my mortgage, but I did it when I was like, I don't know, 66 or something a few years ago. But anyway, you paid it off early. And how long of a mortgage was it and how quick did you pay it off?
Yeah, we got a 15-year mortgage and we had the intent of paying it off in 5 years. We were getting a little excited about it, but we were able to pay it off in just under 4. So we got even more excited about it.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you specific stuff. So if I get too personal, you're just going to just make up answers if you don't want to give me
good.
Advice. Okay, so how big
was
your
book?
Yeah. How big was your mortgage?
I've stayed in his paid off house. So
there you go. You know, you Miranda knows it's nice.
It's nice. It's a nice house.
Yeah. We got a, in 2013, we bought the house. It was valued at $350,000 and we got around a $200,000 mortgage on it, $195,000 mortgage.
Okay. See, we'll call it 200 grand.
Yeah.
And where do you live?
We live in the Metro Detroit area. So maybe 30 minutes north of the city.
Okay. So you had a $200,000 mortgage and you paid it off in a couple of years.
Yes.
A few years. How did you do that?
Yeah. The first part was motivation. I would say as I really wasn't, my wife and I were both working in the advertising marketing world at the time. And we both weren't really that excited about what we were doing, but we had to do it because we had two kids and we were, you know, having this mortgage and just the general aspects of life. And so we were motivated to want to not be in that situation anymore, eventually move towards a situation where at least one of us could go part-time. And then maybe eventually both of us could go part-time working and doing work that we actually enjoyed. So the first part of it for us was just a general motivation.
Now, as I recall, I listened to Andy's podcast about this very topic not long ago. As I recall, Andy, you were making about 100 grand.
Me personally, combined between my wife and I, we were making around $170,000 at the time.
Oh, okay. And you know what, Andy, I may have been confused because you had somebody on your podcast who also paid off their mortgage. They were from Dave Ramsey. Maybe that's who I was thinking of. So you had a pretty healthy income. 170 grand is pretty good.
Yes.
And your mortgage was 200 grand. Now, how much were your payments on a $200,000 mortgage? Because 15-year means higher payments. How much were your payments?
So it was about $1,900. We had a 3% interest, so it was a little low. It was lower, which is great. A lot of people who are holding onto those right now feel like they're gold, which is awesome. So it was $1,900 in total.
Now, wait, did you have this goal in mind before you bought the house? Like, I'm going to buy this house and I'm going to pay it off, so I'm choosing the 15-year mortgage and all that?
Yes, you have that exactly right. We were living in my bachelor pad before that, and my wife, my new wife, moved in with me, and she said, this place is just okay, Andy. We're going to have to look for something that's a little bit more appropriate for our family and a better community. And I'm like, this is fine. This place is totally fine. But she eventually convinced me. And so my agreement with her was, well, I don't want to feel strapped with this mortgage or this bigger house and more obligations, more bills, all the things that go into fixing a house and refurnishing it and everything like that. And so our agreement together was, let's continue to try to live on around 50% of our income and pay this mortgage off in less than 5 years.
So how much were you paying every month to pay it off?
Yeah. So on average, we were adding these principal payments of at least $500 each month. But there were some months where I would maybe get a commission at work and that would go directly to the mortgage. And we would get a tax refund that would go directly to the mortgage. We would sell things on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist when our kids were out of their baby gear. We would just sell that and then that would go towards the mortgage. So we had a full focus kind of idea.
I mean, you paid down $200,000 of principal in a few years.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, we did. Absolutely. It was very fast, and it helped that we were motivated.
Sometimes it's hard to find a mortgage that allow you to do that. Was that hard to hunt that one down, or was that
pretty
easy?
Why would it
be
hard?
We had no prepayment penalty with our mortgage. That was something that we looked into beforehand, and they were happy to receive the extra principal payments. Now, we did have to make sure that they were directly going to the principal, because sometimes if you send in an extra mortgage payment, they just think you're being really kind and you want to pay future payments towards your
right,
mortgage.
Right.
So you got to be specific about that.
Yeah, I've had that happen too. But Aaron, I could be wrong about this, but I think it's very rare to have a mortgage with a prepayment penalty. I have not heard of one. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't exist, but isn't that pretty rare, Andy?
From what I've seen, yeah, it is pretty rare, but it is good to look into, especially as there's, you know, new lenders popping up every once in a while, and sometimes it feels like your mortgage is being sold from lender to lender to lender. It's good to look into.
But it's amazing how much principal you put down. I mean, additional principal you put down, because that's 200 grand is a lot when you're making 170 and you did it in 3 years.
We were definitely motivated, and yes, that continued payment helped us to, you know, look at those amortization schedules, those calculators, and see, wow, this is making a big difference. And if we keep at this pace, we're going to be able to pay this off not in 5 years, but in, you know, 3 years and 9 months. So let's keep at it. It definitely helped that we would, any new money that came in, any newfound money in our lives, that helped to throw at the mortgage as well. So we at least did $500 per month as additional principal. But new money that came in definitely helped us to make this go faster.
Okay, now tell me why was this so important, and what difference did it make in your life to pay your mortgage off early?
Yeah, you know, for us, alongside investing early for our retirement, this plan was going to allow my wife to move from a full-time job that she really didn't enjoy to a part-time job that she kind of enjoyed. And with that path, we would go from a two-income household to a one-and-a-half-income household, because we didn't have as many expenses after paying off a mortgage. And it helped that we lived frugally and also invested early for our retirement. So between us, you know, investing early for our retirement and paying off our mortgage early, my wife and I both now work part-time. And it's been fantastic for our marriage. It's been fantastic for our relationship with our kids and our general mental and physical health.
Well, it's just a couple of grand that you don't have to part with every month.
That's right? True, but in combination with the extra principal payments we were making, in addition to the retirement investing we were doing, we found ourselves in a position where we had front-loaded our retirement investing so much that we also looked at that and said, wow, if we simply just pull back a little bit on our contributions or even stop, we can still hit our goals for retirement. And between not making a mortgage payment anymore and massively decreasing our retirement contributions, we were able to go from a two-income household down to a combined one-income household.
And I hear that too. I wrote a book many years ago, I mean like 25 years ago, called Life or Debt.
Yeah.
And I gave an example of people who targeted their debts one at a time, ultimately paying off their mortgage, and mm-hmm. then taking that old mortgage payment and putting it into an S&P 500 index fund.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you, because what happens is when you're used to paying all this money every month, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Now you've got that extra money. What do you do with it? You invest it, and you can become a millionaire that way. You can pay off a mortgage pretty fast. And then if you take those old payments, and same with all the other debts you pay off, car loans, credit cards, blah, blah, blah. And you take all those old payments and then rechannel them into an S&P 500, whatever, and it's sound investments, you can end up being a millionaire at a pretty young age.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we were able to hit that goal of millionaire status by age 38. And at that point, we were reflecting back and saying, okay, yes, this is just a number, but what does that mean? What is this allowing us to do? And for us, it's allowed us to buy more family time, buy more time for our relationship. And that's where we're focusing a lot more of our time now.
A millionaire at 38? Doesn't that make you feel terrible, Miranda?
No,
Aaron?
I'm good.
Miranda's good. We've talked about that.
Miranda's okay without being a millionaire. I'm fine.
I just want to hear some jealousy coming through the microphone.
Yeah, no, I actually just got back from Puerto Rico. I'm okay. I'm sunburnt and I got to swim in the ocean every day. The only sad thing is that it's very cold in Idaho Falls. So that's the sad thing, but it's colder in Michigan, so.
Well, it helps us a lot that we combine things together. Obviously, without my wife, you know, I would have a paltry net worth, of course. You know, if we do these things together, you know, we combine our efforts for our income and our
assets. Can she hear you, Andy? Can she hear you right now? Because it sounds like she...
She's literally 5 inches away from me, so you guys just... This is going to be good for our relationship, I'm telling you. This is the key.
That's really funny. Okay, now I'm going to address something that I hope that people picked up on when we were talking about your mortgage. It was 3%.
Yes.
You must get this a lot. What the hell are you doing paying off a 3% loan?
Exactly. Yes. You know, it's a tough thing to swallow right now, especially as rates are so much higher than 3%. So it appears with somebody who has a 2% mortgage or a 3% mortgage that the idea of paying something like that off is nuts. Now, if I had to do it all over again, I probably still would do exactly what we did, but I would make sure that our retirement investing was set. You know, we had front loaded so much that we were really going to coast to retirement for the next 20 years. After you do that, I mean, that's the natural next step for me, at least, with regard to having a family and wanting to spend more time doing other things besides working. Is that just eliminate the other debts in your life so you don't have to work as much. And that's where mortgage freedom makes sense for me, especially as you're in a later portion of this financial journey. Is it the first thing that you should do? No, definitely not. There are high interest credit card debts you should be paying off. There are high yield savings accounts you should be taking advantage of to make sure you've got money for emergencies, and definitely investing for the future for your retirement needs. Should all come first before even considering paying off your mortgage. But once you're doing all those things and you feel pretty comfortable in your life, yeah, eliminate that mortgage and it'll give you even more freedom to do what you want in life.
Did you grow up in Detroit, or was that also part of the decision in living there?
Ever since I was 10 years old, I've lived in Metro Detroit. My dad worked for an automotive company, so we traveled around quite a bit when I was younger. But yeah, it's been my home for 30 plus years now.
What are taxes and insurance like there?
Oh, not too bad. You know, we pay about $5,000 to $6,000 in property tax per year. And so even after we paid off that $1,900 payment per month, we still make I'll call it like $500, $600 payment towards just having the house between homeowners insurance and property tax.
Yeah, I've got to say, I was a little disappointed when I paid my mortgage off, Andy, because it had been a goal my whole life. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I literally said, when I pay my mortgage off, I'm going to retire. And that's basically what people do. I mean, you know, at least. And then when I paid it off, I'm like, well, I still have to pay $1,500 a month or more for insurance and property. My property tax is about 10 grand and my insurance is about 7 grand because I live in Florida by the water.
Yeah. Utilities, updating the house. 10 years later, your house looks older and your wife says, hey, we should update this house again. Those costs are still there.
Yep, that's true. As a matter of fact, yesterday I just paid somebody $1,000 to pressure wash my backyard and roof. And that's something I would have done myself before, but now I'm too old. So it's like, I thought it was just me sitting around with, you know, money rolling in and no money going out, but, and obviously not having debt is better than having debt, but It wasn't the catharsis I thought it was going to be when I paid off
my
mortgage.
But you're enjoying your life. You're working right now. Yes. You like what you do. I think just sitting down on a couch and doing nothing, I don't know. I don't think anybody's... I think retirement's different. I think we all want to have some purpose. We want to have a little bit of meaning and doing some work. I think I'm going to be doing some type of work, and it'll probably get me some money for a long period of my life.
Yeah, well, you know, my wife is much younger than me, but I agree with what you said anyway. I mean, first of all, what am I going to do all day when my wife's working? Because she's in the middle of her career.
Exactly.
But also, yeah, you want to feel fulfilled, you know, and this is something I really enjoy doing. As a matter
Absolutely.
Of fact, let me interrupt right there and tell you something I really enjoy doing, which is soliciting people for our sponsor, which I'm just about to do. Hold on, guys. We are halfway through our show, which means it's time for us to pay a bill or two. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break to continue the step-by-step process Andy used to pay off his mortgage early, and you can too. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back, but before we start again, do me a solid. Share this show on your favorite social platforms and subscribe to our podcast. It takes you 2 seconds, but it really helps us. Okay, now, my script says, let's keep picking Andy's brain. That seems a little intrusive to me. But Andy, we've established that you paid off your mortgage. But how did you do this? Where did you marshal the resources? Because most people are going to be going, of course I want to pay off my mortgage, but where the hell am I supposed to get the money to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the further we go into our lives, the more people and companies are very good at getting our money. So if we're not paying attention to where it's going, I think that is a big opportunity for us. So the first thing that we did as a couple, much to my wife's chagrin, was to have a money date each month where we looked over the numbers and made sure we know exactly where our money was going because we had these big goals in mind. So with that, we'd look at the numbers and see, you know, how much are we spending on food out at restaurants? You know, are there ways for us to save with our grocery spending? You know, are we even using cable TV anymore? You know, can we go with high deductible insurance plans instead of the lower deductible insurance plans so we can save a little bit more money? These types of things helped us to reduce our expenses.
What a hopeless romantic.
You know, I definitely brought the wine and the pizza. So at least there was a reason for her to want to show up. Absolutely.
Here's some advice for you. Should you ever be on the dating scene again, we hope that you won't be, but should you be, do not lead with this. Okay.
No, and she reminds me of that pretty much every week. So.
So anyway, so you got together and you decided to try to figure out where you could save some money or spend less without hopefully destroying your quality of life and then putting that money toward that mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can only reduce so much, though. You know, to your point, you got to keep the marriage alive and have some fun. So you got to look at increasing income as well, you know. So
yeah,
I got very motivated during this time, so I would work harder to hit my sales goals. If I had a bonus opportunity, I would work on getting those. We would do this little paycheck mind trick. You know, I got paid 26 times per year, pretty much every 2 weeks, as opposed to the typical 24 times a year. And we would just agree that those other two paychecks, we would just not live on those. And when they came in, we would use those to make a big principal payment every twice a year. So that ended up being a big mortgage impact. Probably about $30,000 of our pay down was just from that mind trick alone.
Yeah, actually, speaking of which, I've written several times, and our website continually has articles like this, how to pay off your mortgage earlier. For those who are listening who don't, you know, not in sales, don't make a ton of money, are there simple things you can do that are really going to make a difference over time? Like, for example, you know, the 13th payment thing where you pay your mortgage every 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You pay half your mortgage every 2 weeks, and what happens is you'll pay... you know, 50 weeks, and then you're going to have an extra mortgage payment at the end of that. So you'll have 13th mortgage payment every year by paying every 2 weeks instead of every month. So there are little things that you can do too, besides just putting in whatever you can to reduce your principal. You ever heard of that, the 13 monthly payment thing?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in any of these additional payments that you can make a huge difference in the long run. It's just like investing for retirement. The more you can do it earlier, it compounds too. It's the same thing with your amortization schedule. The more you can put in early, it starts to build up over time. And then the closer you get to be paying it off, more of it's going towards the principal than interest. It's exciting.
You know, and I may be wrong about this because it's been many years since I've written about it, but I think I remember saying that if you pay one extra mortgage payment every year, 13 instead of 12, that you'll pay off a 30-year mortgage 8 years earlier. Now, that may be wrong, but That's what I remember. Does that sound
familiar? Sounds about right.
Yeah, it makes a huge, little amounts can make a huge difference, because, you know, even though you can't be like Andy and pay off $200,000 in a couple of years, you can still pay something extra.
And, yeah, even if you did it in 10 or less, or you know, 10 or 15, this is massively quicker than the majority of Americans, for sure.
Obviously, Andy and I bought houses a while, long time ago, during, you know, the 3%, 2%, 4% era. Today, now everybody's, you know, looking at 6 and 7. Are we doing this podcast to say, hey, you know, you can do this too, so you don't have to pay so much interest?
Yeah, well, the more interest you're paying, the better off you are paying it off early, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
if you're paying 7% and your hopes in the stock market are make 7 or 8%, I mean, it starts to look a little bit more comparable, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I got to tell you, man, if I got a 3% mortgage today, I'm not paying it off. No way. I'm earning 5% in money market. I just wouldn't do that. That makes no sense to me.
Right. Well, and I think it goes back to, though, like where your values are and what helps you sleep at night, right? So
I use Ambien.
Ambien. Well, Ambien. But yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't pay off my mortgage early either. We're all here piling on poor Andy. But at the same time, I see why people are like, hey, I just don't want it hanging over my head. I want this mortgage expense just off the books for me. And then I can use that money for other things. And so I think that makes sense too. So it really comes down to, once again, is like, hey, what works for you? You know, and then also when you're talking about paying off your mortgage early, you know, do we want to, you know, how hard is it to stick to a plan, right? When you're saying, if I can just stick it out for 5 to 8 years and deny myself everything and then pay off the mortgage, then I'll be happy. Like that can be difficult to do as well. So it really depends on like, hey, where are you at? What's going to work for you? Because for some people, paying it off early, paying it off 8 years early, just with that, like that plan where you're just like, okay, biweekly mortgage, pay half of it twice a month. That'll still get you paid off early. That'll still save you. It'll get you done with your mortgage 8 years earlier than you would have. And that's still worth something.
I like that plan. I think maybe our example is probably a little skewed because both my wife and I really didn't enjoy what we were doing for a living. Now, if you enjoy what you're doing for a living and your daily life is pretty great, then yeah, aggressively paying off your mortgage in under 5 years might make your life even harder than it needs to be. So yeah, it's a great point, Miranda.
Was another choice in that house? You thought this was your forever home, or... Or are you thinking
I think at that
now?
Time when we were getting it, this definitely felt like our forever home. We're still in it. It's 10 years now. I can see we've got a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. I see us being here well after they graduate high school and college. So yeah, absolutely.
But now you got to move to Grosse Pointe. I mean, come on, you're a millionaire.
Funny enough, that's where I grew up.
That is pretty funny.
You know Metro Detroit well, then.
I know, actually, you know, it's from that movie with John Cusack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Grosse Pointe Blank. Is that what it was?
Oh, that was a big deal when we were in high school, man. Yeah.
That was fun to
watch.
Now, listen, I've got an article here in front of me. This is 7 times that you don't want to pay off your mortgage.
Ah.
Okay. And I'm going to read these to you and tell me what you think. Now, this one you've already alluded to, Andy. Number one is you lack emergency savings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need to have emergency savings before you start putting your money into something like a mortgage, which is, I mean, your house is illiquid. If you need money, it's going to be hard to get it out of your house. It's going to be easy to get it out of the bank. So you want to have an emergency fund, right? Now, here's something that I did that's in this article. You want extra liquidity. Okay. I had a whole bunch of money in the bank. Well, more than enough to pay off my mortgage. I didn't pay off my mortgage because I thought maybe one day I'll want to do something with this money. Hmm. So in 2012, the house next door came up for sale. I had a bunch of money, you know, because what was happening, the market was cratering. And I bought the house next door for cash because, you know, it was hard to get a mortgage then. So then I flipped it and made a few $100,000. So, you know, having that liquidity helped me. Now, if it was just sitting there, earning 1%, which it was, or less, then maybe that wouldn't have made as much sense. But I was able to take the money. I wouldn't have been able to do that. Could I have borrowed against my house to buy the house next door? I could have, but I'm not that type of person. I wouldn't have, you know, because I wouldn't have wanted to jump through the hoops or have that much leverage. So, you know, if you need liquidity, that could be a situation, or you desire liquidity, that could be a situation not to pay it off. Agree or disagree?
I completely agree. Yeah, locking it up in your house makes it very hard to get at, whether you're going to either home equity line of credit or sell the thing, which is those aren't great options.
Yeah. Number three was earning a better rate by investing. Obviously, if you can earn 5%, paying 3 is the arbitrage is very attractive, especially if that 5% comes risk-free, like at a bank or at a treasury bill or something like that. Lower taxes. Now, this used to be a bigger thing because, you know, I was going to say, if you pay 3%, it used to be that you're really paying 1.8 mm-hmm. if you're in a 40% tax bracket, because the write-off of the interest, you know, that deduction is significant, and it essentially reduces the interest rate that you're paying. That is less important now because now the standard deduction is so much higher.
Yeah, I've heard that 90% of Americans take the standard deduction now.
So. Yeah, yeah, I'm taking it. I mean, there's just really nothing else you can do to make itemized deductions. Also, now here's an interesting one. Your mortgage is a hedge against inflation. So if you're paying 3% or whatever percent you're paying, 30 years from now, that mortgage payment is going to be a lot smaller in today's dollars than it is now. So, you know, the bank is, your house is going up in value because of inflation, but your mortgage isn't going up. It's your payments are the same. So it can be, actually, truth be told, the best thing you could do mathematically in times of high inflation is to borrow money at a fixed rate. So comment on that?
I think it makes sense. Locking something in for 30 years at extremely low rate, 2 or 3%, can definitely help you, especially with the inflationary environment we've seen over the past few years. That being said, these decisions are, I would say, less mathematical as that situation is, and more emotional. The more emotional benefit that you get from not having that weight over your head anymore, and the ability for you just to have lower expenses in general, so you can make some better decisions for your life.
I agree with you.
I think one of the things that we lose track of is we're always talking about, like, oh, money is just math. Well, no, it's also emotional. Like, let's not pretend like money isn't emotional at all, and it's all just math, like, because it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was saying, you know, I remember my parents going, like, you know, if we ever pay this house off, yeah, I mean, it's an emotional thing to own your house free and clear.
Absolutely.
The other two things are real simple. I'll just go over them real quick. One, your job is uncertain. Obviously, you want to have liquidity. If you're going to lose your job, you don't want to have extra home equity. You want to have cash in the bank if you're going to lose your job. And also having high interest debt, which you also alluded to. Andy, you want to be paying off your 25% credit card before you pay off your 4% mortgage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having the money in the bank, I think, is, you know, whatever term you want to give it, FU money or any other term, just having that ability to make some decisions for you with money in the bank is a big power move.
Cool. So you still have a mortgage, Aaron? You have multiple properties.
Yeah, we have multiple properties, but we kind of did something similar to what Andy did. Sonia, my wife, had already owned a home, and when we got together, she was like adamant about getting another one. But this is back in 2012 when things were dirt cheap, and we picked up a cute little 2-1 for, like, I think 80 or 90 grand during that whole 3% era. And I was a spender, as I've said many times on this podcast, and both Sonia and Stacy reeled me in on that crap. So we did the same thing. With not spending a lot, looking at our budget and putting everything we had towards it. And we paid it off relatively quick. And the scale is the same because the incomes were different back then. Yeah, it can be done. That's basically what I'm saying. What Andy's saying, if you have the mind and the discipline to do it, you can do it, you know?
Yeah, and this conversation will be complete until we bring Miranda in, because Miranda's a person who doesn't have a mortgage because she doesn't own a house. And there is something to be said for that. I disagree with it. We've had this conversation several times, but she doesn't have to worry about a mortgage, right, Miranda?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it really goes, it really just depends on where you see your lifestyle and what kind of things matter to you. Since my main values are convenience and flexibility, and a mortgage offers none of those things, and owning a house offers neither of those things, just because, like, I don't want to deal with maintenance issues. When my hot water went out a couple months ago, I sent a text to the maintenance crew at the apartment complex. And within an hour, I had hot water. I didn't have to, like, call around. I didn't have to figure out, do price comparisons. And I didn't have to wait a couple of days for somebody to come out and fix my water heater. It was done within an hour. And then, you know, like, I just... I travel a lot. I'm gone a lot. And so having a contained apartment where I don't have to worry about all of the things that go with, like, let's prepare the house before I travel, before I'm gone for 2 weeks. So for me, like, my lifestyle, I'm much happier. Just, you know, I'm what they call coast fi. If I never invest another dime, which I still invest, but if I never invest another dime, you know, by the time I reach the traditional retirement age, I will have plenty to retire. I will have more than $1 million. And so, like, I'm fine without the house. Like, I'm good.
That's totally legitimate.
And so I, yeah. So for me, it just doesn't make sense with my lifestyle and the way I like my life to be lived. It just doesn't make sense.
And when I was the age of Andy and Aaron, you know, I was all about swinging a hammer, you know, and now it's like, I just told you, I paid somebody to pressure wash, which a chimpanzee can do, you know, but I just, I'm 68 years old. I don't feel like doing it anymore. And this house doesn't take care of itself. And it's damn near my age. So,
yeah. And I've never been a project person. Like, I know people that are project people. They love to buy a house. They love to fix it up. They love to make it like their own. And I have never been a project person. I have never been somebody who enjoys working in the yard. Like, none of that. Like, none of that appeals to me. And so, I mean, the best thing I got is I've got a basil plant. I haven't killed it. And when I'm ready for caprese, I have fresh basil for my caprese. Oh, but I've got it in a self-watering pot that I only have to water every 2 weeks. So, like, I mean, it just, yeah.
Well, you're the one-eyed seed of a tumbleweed in the belly of a rolling stone. Okay, folks, we are out of time, but we are never out of topic. Dig a little deeper. You're going to find links to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, well, your online home is moneytalksnews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That is MirandaMarquette.com. And of course, you want to visit Andy at his website. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com. If you got a question, comment, or topic you'd like to suggest, tell us. You can email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. And allow me to repeat myself one more time. If you like what we do, do something for us. Subscribe to our podcast. Takes you 2 seconds. Really helps us, though. So if you like us, just sit there, show us, and subscribe. Andy, I don't care what anyone says. I like you. I think you're a great guy, and I'm going to be counting the minutes until you come back again.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm Stacy Johnson.
I'm Miranda Marquette.
I'm Aaron Friedman.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We're going to see you right here next time.